It was the coldest night of the regular season so far. That means that it's probably the final night, and that was the case. Final night of the high school football regular season across the Upper Cumberland. We're glad you're along. The high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders for Chick-fil-A with the Monterey Wildcats, who finished their season undefeated. One of two Upper Cumberland teams to get that done. We'll visit with them during the course of this hour. We'll also make trips to Baxter, Sparta, Jamestown, Smithville, and Salina before we're done on this week's edition. But let's get to the scoreboard and the pairings for the playoffs, which have been announced across the state of Tennessee. Here's what happened last night. Wildcats of Monterey, 10-0 on the season as they beat Smith County 28-21. Jordan Key, 12 rushes, 63 yards, and two scores. Key was also 5 of 8 for 85 yards through the air. The Wildcats of Livingston Academy completed their perfect season, beating Macon County 42-6, the final score. Quarterback Will McDonald, 23 of 30 for 340 yards and 6 touchdown passes. That is a school record. The Upperman Bees finished the regular season 9-1, beating Sequatchie County 44-20. Donovan McAllister scored 3 touchdowns, completing 6 of 10 passes for 171 yards. He also had 9 rushes, 70 yards, and 2 touchdowns on the ground. Cavaliers fall to Blackman 49-7 last night in Murfreesboro. Blackman outgains Cookeville by over 250 yards. Clay County Bulldogs beat Red Boiling Springs 48-0. Jake Ashlock was 8 of 9 for 136 yards and 2 touchdowns. Clay County rushed for 199 yards on the night. DeKalb County finishes 6-4 on the campaign, beating Cumberland County 41-6. Axel Aldino and Nathaniel Crook combined for a total of 5 touchdowns on the night. Trevor Parsons and Braden Tollett each finished 2 of 9 for 37 yards and an INT for the Jets. Warriors of White County finished the season 5-5. They fall to Good Pasture 27-11. It was Malachi Dow with the touchdown run 37 yards out to give the Warriors the early lead. York holds off Cannon County 15-14 Friday night. The Dragons are headed to the postseason after a failed two-point conversion by Cannon County in the final minute. 15-14 the final. Zach Gibson, 17 carries, 92 yards, and a touchdown. Jackson County Blue Devils fall to Trousdale County 42-20 last night. Blue Devils' season ends at 3-7. Stone Memorial with a couple of turnovers and a couple of missed failed conversions on fourth downs. They simply couldn't get things going. 35-12, Panthers fall to Friendship Christian. Joe Burns beats Pickett County 46-0 last night. Oakland, the winner over Warren County, 49-14. Smith County beats Grundy County. Final in that game was 59-8. And so the postseason is set to begin, and the Upper Cumberland with some teams that are going to be dangerous, going to give some teams across the state a very tough time. Here's the way the brackets look. We'll start with Livingston Academy in 4A. The Wildcats will host 3-7 Maplewood Friday night. The winner of that game could potentially face Macon County. They're in the other side of that bracket. DeKalb County and Stone Memorial also in the 4A bracket. The Tigers host 7-3 Tullahoma Friday night in Smithville, while Stone Memorial will be on the road to Lewisburg to take on Marshall County. For Monterey, they begin their march to Cookeville Friday night, hosting 2-8 Whitwell. The Wildcats could face Gordonsville in the next round, as they're also in that same bracket. Clay County will host Sale Creek Friday night in Salina. In the 3A bracket, Upperman begins its postseason battle, hosting Signal Mountain Friday night. The Eagles finished 6-4. York Institute takes on Loudoun Friday night. Loudoun finished the season undefeated at 10-0. In that same bracket, 6-4 Smith County will host Sweetwater Friday night. And Cookeville finishing third in Region 3. They will travel to Hendersonville to open the postseason against the Commandos of Hendersonville, another 5-5 football team in the postseason. It's here. The road to Cookeville is underway, and we'll see who will be here in just a matter of weeks now playing for the coveted Blue Cross Blue Shield title. Let's start with Upperman head coach Adam Kane as the Bees get the victory last night. And, Coach, what pleased you most about the way your team played in the regular season finale?
Well, I'd have to say defensively, you know, Kwachi poses a pretty big challenge with their offense, a heavy run game based offense, and we challenged our defensive line to, you know, control the line of scrimmage, and I felt like we did that pretty much throughout the evening, and so I was very pleased with our defensive effort, and you know, kept us in the ball game early on, and then really were able to shut them down and extend our lead right before half, and you know, really got us going in the right direction. So I was very pleased with how we played on that side of the ball.
Who were some of the guys that that gave you good pressure up front?
Jaron McClellan, and we had Alex Brown in there, and Tyler Bilbrey, and a young kid, Bo Harrell, freshman, stepped in and played. You know, we had one of our older guys injured, and they did a fantastic job. You know, we when that first group was out there, I don't know that they had, you know, 50 yards of offense. So I was pleased with them, and those front guys did a fantastic job.
What allowed you before halftime to kind of take control of this football game?
Well, we saw that we probably had a little advantage with the wide receiver secondary matchups. And, you know, Donovan hit a big touchdown pass early on, and then to Trey Snyder, and he was able to, you know, get behind their secondary. And then, you know, we just kind of nickel and dimed them with our passing game and hit a few more big ones. And then slowly but surely that opened up, you know, the things we like to do in the run game.
What's Trey given you during the course of this season?
Trey Snyder, he's starting to come on. You know, he's a big target, about 6'5", and I think the last three or four ball games, he's, you know, caught two or three balls each game, and it, you know, he's starting to develop some confidence with his hands. And last night was able to get behind a secondary and pull away from him for about a 75-yard touchdown. So he's doing great, and he always, you know, provides great effort on the perimeter blocking.
It's on to the postseason now, and you know, there's no tomorrow, as one famous coach used to say. You win and keep playing, or you go home.
Yeah, you know, and this team is, a lot of these kids played last year, and they understand what that environment, you know, entails, and you know, you can't turn it into just an emotional game, but you do have to realize the swings in momentum are going to be even more highlighted now, because it is a win or go home deal. And so I hope, you know, our experience from last year will allow us to settle in and play and, you know, and execute and do what we're supposed to do, and you know, be able to function in that environment. I've got faith that we will, and you know, these kids have gotten better every week this year, and you know, so hopefully our defense can continue to carry us, and our offense, you know, we've gotten better, especially the last three or four ball games, especially throwing the ball. So I'm pleased with where we are right now. We just got to you know, try to get some guys healthy, and you know, just, we got Signal Mountain coming up, and you know, we don't know much about them, but we'll get some film on them today and try to get our guys prepared and see if we can go get one.
Yeah, that injury part, that's the one thing that you just can't control, and you see it in all sports, how it changes the postseason. So you gotta battle through it, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, and you know, nowadays it's, you know, looking into the season, it's almost like you got to prepare for some injuries. I mean, I don't know the percentages or anything like that, but it just seems like that's become such a big part of the game. And last year we were fairly fortunate. fortunate, but this year we lost Tavares Collins, a two-way lineman, and last night Jake Butler, a two-way lineman, was out. So we had some young guys step in and fill in, and that was good to see. So, you know, I've got faith we'll be competitive, and we'll, whoever's on that field will you know, go lay it on the line. So hopefully we can get this ball rolling and get on a roll here.
Upperman 44, Sequatchie County 20 Friday night. Postseason begins this coming Friday night. The head coach of the Bees, Adam Cain. As always, Coach, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
How about those Monterey Wildcats, undefeated on the 2019 high school football season, and the Wildcats are with us at Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive. This is the High School Playbook from Rock 93.7. Wildcats finished the regular season a perfect 10-0, beating Smith County 28-21 last night, and the head coach of the Wildcats is here along with a host of seniors. We'll talk a little Wildcats football. Scott Hughes, it was quite a challenge. You knew it was going to be going into last night.
Oh, we did, and the thing that a lot of people didn't realize was Gordsville's preseason pick to win our region, and had the injury bug hit them. I think at one time they had as many as 8 starters out, and they were all back healthy last night, and so that changes the way that game is played.
You had to come from behind. Good experience?
Very good experience. For us, we dropped down and was down 14-0, and had to be very resilient throughout the game, and ended up scoring 28 unanswered to take over and get the lead, and then we kind of, you know, had another little mistake in the fourth quarter and allowed them to get back in it when we had gained control. But very proud of our team for the way they handled the situations and the magnitude of the situation.
Did you see any of that uh-oh in the eyes at all?
No, very blessed. Never saw that. Even down 14-0, we never saw that. And that was kind of like last week in the Clay County game. Our guys never panic, and they believe that you know, as long as there's time on the clock, we got a shot, and they've proven it again last night.
Who stood out to you defensively?
A bunch of names defensively. Our secondary come up with some big plays. Chandler Bowden got a hand on a ball that Anthony Sobranos intercepts, and our front seven really played well. And other than one big run, we kind of limited their run game, and was very proud of that. And there were some things that we got to shore up in our secondary, but we'll come back to work on Monday and be ready to go.
You keep running the ball well on offense, it looks like.
Well, we're pretty blessed. It's hard to key on just one guy. You know, we've kind of got a little three-headed monster going on with Jordan Key kind of leading that, and then Mason Bowman and Anthony Sobranos sitting there with him, and then very blessed with our receivers. We've got, you know, 7 or 8 guys that we believe in, and that group's led by Chandler Bowden and Kevin Borjas, and Kevin being a senior, he garners a lot of attention, and that's really helped our offense.
What was the message that you portrayed after the football game?
Well, you know, I told them congratulations on going 10-0. One of very few Putnam County teams to ever do that. But starting today, none of it matters.
That's
because
right.
Now it's win or go home. So, you know, we enjoyed last night, celebrated last night. But now our focus turns to Whitwell in the playoffs, which a little bit different 4-seed than normal, defending state champ, preseason's top 10 team with 4 preseason All-State kids. That's not typically what you see in the first round. So we've got a huge challenge this Friday.
You know, it's kind of interesting because what happens in the playoffs is a little bit similar in a different way to what happened to you last night, in that the records really don't matter. People have different ways of scheduling. A lot of teams in lower classifications, for example, will play higher classification teams and maybe lose. You don't know what they've done in terms of conference battles. You just got to expect that every week of the postseason, you're going to face one of the best football teams in this state.
And that's exactly what we're facing. When you look at Whitwell's schedule, down in that Chattanooga area, they can play as many games as they want. and not have to drive more than about 30 minutes. But doing that, they're going to have to play some 3A schools, or they're going to have to play some private schools. And early on in their schedule, that's what they've done. And they took some losses, but they played some really good football teams. And so for us, we've got to take records out of it and understand what we're fixing to face and understand the body of work that they have and understand their personnel. And they've got really good personnel. And so we're going to get to work today and try to figure out a way to stop them.
What's the biggest difference in a postseason football game and a regular season?
Well, you know, you don't have another game to look forward to. You know, that's something that we talked about last night when we got off the bus, is now we're on a week-to-week contract. And starting today, we've got a six-day contract. And if we don't win on Friday night, then that contract don't get renewed. And so for us, it changes. You know, we talk about it early in the year, seniors, you're guaranteed 10 games. Well, now we're guaranteed 6 days. And that changes kind of the mindset in that regard.
It has to be pleasing. And I know we're not to the point of looking back or thinking about this in perspective. We're ready for a playoff game. But it has to be pleasing to you how this team has not only done the perfect season, but it seems to me they have grown every week. They've improved every week. Am I reading that right?
They have. And one of the beauties of this group is just how much fun they have with each other and how much fun we have when coaches are there. And it's just it's something that I don't think a lot of teams get to experience, that relationship. And that's something that I think has really grown this team. And whether it's a Monday or a Friday, they enjoy being around each other. They're very sometimes silly, but, you know, it's a very close group, and every team has a different personality. And we figured this one's out early, was lucky to figure it out early.
Sometimes you don't ever figure it out, right?
Sometimes you don't, but we as coaches were able to figure this one out pretty early in the year and realize there were some things that we had to change a little bit because of our personalities. And it was one of those things that we were able to make it fit.
We've got some Monterey seniors that are going to visit with us about the upcoming postseason as we talk about the 10-0 Monterey Wildcats at Chick-fil-A. They get the win last night over Smith County to go to the postseason at 10-0. 11 Upper Cumberland teams are headed to the postseason as the road to Cookeville officially gets underway next weekend. That includes the Monterey Wildcats. They're with us at Chick-fil-A this morning. Victorious last night, coming from behind to beat Smith County 28-21. We're presented by Mountain Barn Builders. Glad you're spending this cool Saturday morning with us. Scott Hughes is the head coach of the Monterey Wildcats. Who'd you bring along today?
Today I've got Jordan Key, Sam Bilbrey, Kevin Borjas, Renee Talon, Sammy Webb, and Kevin Perez. This group of seniors has been pretty special to our program, and wanted to highlight these guys a little bit.
I mean, they have accomplished so much in the course of their 4 years at Monterey.
They have, and been very, very instrumental to our program from the time they all arrived, and very, very proud of each and every one of them.
All right, let's start with Jordan, since we start with the quarterbacks, right? Isn't that the way football goes? Jordan, happy with how you were able to come back and be resilient last night?
Yes, sir.
What pleased you most? Anything about your play that you liked? Your offensive line? They've been playing well all season, haven't they?
Yeah.
For the most part. He doesn't want to give praise to the offensive line. He knows he got to keep them in line. Sammy, so you are one of those offensive linemen. So tell me, how well has this offensive line gelled together?
Well, we're very close together. And we spend a lot of time together, and we just work constantly on getting better.
You have to work together, but because offensive line, unlike a wide receiver, for example, kind of what they do is an individual thing. But an offensive lineman, you got to know what the guy next to you is going to do on every single play. You have to work together, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What have you tried to work on specifically with your play?
Trying to be the best team player I can be.
Let's talk to Sam. That same question to you, Sam. What have you worked on individually to try to get better?
I've just tried to work at helping make my offensive and defensive line both better as a group. I mean, I've worked as an individual too, but
would you rather be a blocker or would you rather come after people as a defensive lineman?
It don't really matter to me. I love both positions. I've played offensive line longer, but I really like getting to come after people.
Is it the same kind of mentality that you play both sides?
I try to have the same mentality, just go out and get it the whole time.
Kevin, offensively for this football team, do you value blocking as a wide receiver as much as you do trying to catch passes?
I mean, in all reality, probably not. I mean, I block when I have to, but I mean, I love catching the ball, making plays, making those just highlight plays. One of my favorite things to do.
Are you coming to coach and saying, look, this run game's great and all, but we need to throw this ball around a little bit?
I mean, sometimes I look at him and say, hey, coach, look who's on me. Like, give me the ball. And, I mean, we do it sometimes. But sometimes we just got to focus on the run game because it's working, and we just come to the pass game when we need to.
All right, Kevin. So, I mean, let's be real here. Is the prima donna reputation of wide receivers, is that deserved?
No.
No.
I'm cold hard killer, which, I mean, I'm out there to get at someone.
I think if they're a little misunderstood, we'll let that go. All right, let's talk to Kevin Perez, linebacker, fullback. Kevin, you've finished an undefeated season. Have you had a chance to think about that at all?
It's kind of hard to believe because, like, we're not used to being in this position. And, I mean, it feels great.
How much work is it to be undefeated?
It's pretty hard because, I mean, everyone's doubting you. They're wanting you to lose, and, I mean, you just got to overcome it.
Renee, you have been such a weapon for this football team. Kicker, punter, defensive line. You hear all this stuff about people say, oh, kickers and punters, they're not tough. And you're playing defensive line.
Yeah, I'm just a different kicker. I'm just not a normal kicker.
You're a different guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, if you had to choose one or the other, a specialist or a defensive lineman, which would it be?
That's a tough one. I'd probably go with defensive line.
Do you understand? I mean, you watch a lot of football, and you're obviously watching every game that you're playing and your teams are playing. Do you understand the fact that you give your football team a weapon with your ability to kick? I mean, not every high school team has anybody that can even make make extra points, for example.
Well, I think it's pretty special to be a kicker and be a weapon to our school. And I don't know. I think it's a pretty good feeling to be, like, a good kicker.
You should have a special feeling because it's great to have that there. So, Kevin, what's it like around school? Kevin Perez, we'll start with. Kevin, what's it like around school right now with the excitement about the football season and everything?
It's great. People are all coming to us saying that we can go undefeated, and, I mean, we did it. Set a school record.
All right, the other Kevin. So you did go undefeated. But now it doesn't matter. Now it's one game at a time. So is it hard at all to screen out your friends, girlfriends, family, people around town saying, okay, we're gonna go win a state title. You guys are going to stay undefeated. Do you have to kind of screen that stuff out?
I mean, sometimes, because you don't want to get too involved with the fans and all of them saying you have to do this and have to do that. You kind of just want to focus on the team and just build yourself around and try to win that next football game, because not every week is assured.
Monterey Sam Bilbrey is with us at Chick-fil-A. So, for you, what's the biggest takeaway from this season? What's the thing you think you're going to remember going forward?
Going 10-0, I mean, in the past years we've done great. But just being able to have that title of going 10-0 undefeated, it's just an amazing thing to accomplish. We've done everything we've wanted to, and now we just got to go in the postseason and do more.
Sammy, what do you want to show the rest of this state about this Monterey football team?
How hard we go to work every day and how we're continually wanting to get better.
Every single week?
Yes, sir.
Jordan, finally for you. Is this a football team that can be playing after Thanksgiving?
Yes, sir.
What's it going to take?
We just got to go out and work hard and just got to keep doing better.
Let me put that same question to the guy that leads these guys. Scott Hughes, what's it going to take to play after Thanksgiving?
We're going to have some luck. There's no doubt about that. But we've got to show up, and we've just got to make ourselves better every day and not worry about anything else, but be coachable and be able to execute what is in place. And I think we can do the execution part. We've got a very talented roster, and we've just got to limit some mistakes that we've been making the last 2 weeks and just take it one day at a time and see where we go from there.
You said, though, luck. It takes a little bit of luck, doesn't it?
I firmly believe you got to have some luck to make a great postseason run, and you know, you've got to have the ball bounce your way sometimes, and football's a weird sport in how it bounces sometimes, and so we need it to stay on our side.
And you guys could be back here in a couple of Saturdays down the road at Tucker Stadium.
It would be a blessing, but we're not worried about that yet. We're worried about next Friday night in Monterey.
And you show up and support these Wildcats because it's been a great season so far. They need everybody in Putnam County to come see them. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having us. Love what you do, and such a blessing for our community for what you do for us.
Thank you, Coach. Scott Hughes and the Monterey Wildcats preparing for round one of the postseason. From UCSportsNation.com, last night's scoreboard, Livingston 42-6 over Macon County. Monterey defeats Gordonsville 28-21. Trousdale County wins over Jackson County 42-20. It was Oakland beating Warren County 49-14, Friendship Christian 35, Stone Memorial 12. Joe Burns beats Pickett County 46-0. Good Pasture 27, White County 11, Clay County beats Red Boiling Springs 48-0. York 15, Cannon County 14, DeKalb County wins over Cumberland County 41-6. Blackman defeats Cookeville 49-7. The high school playbook rolls on, presented by Mountain Barn Builders. As we head to Sparta, bring in White County coach Mark Frazier. Warriors not able to end this season with a win, but they end the season 5-5. And, Coach, I know you have to be proud of this team and the way you've kind of started the process of building a program.
You've got to step back and look at the big picture, and we are proud of them. We told our seniors last night, you know, if we do accomplish what the big goal is, to turn the program around, to make it a competitive football program, they were the building blocks. I was proud of them for buying in this year and doing that. So were we disappointed a couple times? Sure. And then, I think that's, actually part of the process is being disappointed at not winning, and that's something that's maybe not been the norm here for a while. So, we don't want to expect to lose. You expect to win. If you don't, you need to be disappointed. So, I was proud of them, and the expectations, I hope, have changed a little bit. So we're excited about that part of it.
And you build the lessons. What are the things that we've got to work on to make this program every week competitive and have a chance to win the number of games that we want to win?
No doubt. You go, guys, listen, you can't roll out the ball and expect to win. Some guys – maybe uber talented can do that every once in a while, but we're not there, and I don't know that we ever will be there as far as that goes. So we got to realize the effort and the intensity it takes to win every week. I will say this: last night we brought that intensity. We didn't win the game, but the week before, I don't think we brought the intensity or the effort that I think that we've done the other 8 games. So we brought the intensity last night. We just didn't come out on top on the scoreboard, and you take positives, and obviously you gain from the negatives as well.
First half last night, you come out and you're able to get on the scoreboard in the first half. What pleased you about how you played in the first half?
Well, I thought our defensive line played well. We had a ton of pressure on their quarterback, basically, their scores, we had some breakdowns in the secondary, which has kind of been what we fought all year. But we played well up front on the defensive line. And then, offensively, we get down 7-0. We come back and score, break it 8-7. And I thought that they, the intensity was what I was most proud of after the week before. They came out and they played hard. So excited to get some points on the board. And you know, we had some injuries that we were trying to fight through, but the guys played hard. That's the biggest thing.
37-yard touchdown run, is that right?
Yes, that's Malachi Dow. He's a freshman. He's going to be a good player for us, I think, as the years come. He's a hard worker, talented kid. So we hopefully, you know, keep him on track. And hopefully you'll hear that name a lot as years come through.
In the second half, Good Pasture really starts rolling 17 points, the final 17 points of the game to get to the final score. Was it just kind of running out of steam, or what was the story of the second half?
Well, you know, and maybe I need to learn lessons, head coach. It looks a lot better to lose 18-11 than it does 27-11. But, you know, it's 18-11. We're down there with no time left. We're going to try to win the game instead of trying to keep the score close. So some of those points are on me. We go for it, you know, inside our 20 a couple times just to try to see if we can pull out something. So score might get a little worse than it actually is, but. To me, you know, if it's 50-11 or if it's 12-11, we lose the game. So we try to do some things to get some points there at the end to give us a shot to win. Probably should have been 18-11 to be the final, which, you know, hey, it's still a loss. So, you know, we try to do some things to some fake punts and some things maybe I shouldn't do, but I just feel like, hey, the score doesn't matter as long as trying to win, and then that's what it ended up being. But give Good Pasture credit and give Coach Johnson credit. You know, they came in off some tough losses, and they played hard and got the win. So hats off to them.
What was your message to the team after it was all said and done?
Well, to the seniors, man, we love them. We appreciate them. You know, they did what we asked them to do this year. And the foundation was laid, I hope. And to the other guys, I said, I love you. We're going to give them a week off. We're going to come back and start working out. You know, I said, you know, the off seasons where football games are won. And we got some coaches that, you know, knew the situation, I guess, when we started. And these guys are in it for the long haul. We want to make White County a competitive football program year in, year out. And so bottom line was, hey, we love you seniors, man. Y'all did what we asked you to do. And a week, we're coming back. And let's get to work, and let's go get the next year. That's what we said.
White County Coach Mark Frazier as the Warriors fall to Good Pasture 27-11 Friday night. York battling through what has been a tough season in terms of injuries and young football players. They get the win over Cannon County 15-14 last night. Let's go to Jamestown and bring in head coach Derwin Wright. Our story on UC Sports Nation, Coach, called it a gutsy win. Would you agree with that description?
Well, yeah, I agree with that. We've had so many injuries and so many things go on. I felt, you know, really proud of the guys that were on the field last night. You know, we were going in there at 2-7, knowing that, you know, it was. 4-5, they were playing to make 500 season, and it was their senior night, and both of us had playoff implications, and just real proud of our coaching staff and our guys last night.
Cannon County gets on the board first in the second quarter, but then you come right back and get a good touchdown run from Thomas Miller.
Yeah, and you know, we actually unreal. We had to take our left guard, move to right guard due to some things that happened. We had our left tackle out. We had a another kid starting at left tackle. So basically, by moving our right guard, our left guard over to right guard, we had on the left side both two guys that hadn't started this year at left tackle and left guard, and a kid who had never played right guard at right guard. And you know, was able to get outside and do some things. And you know, going into the game, I wouldn't for sure exactly what we were going to do real well, but we were able to run the inside veer pretty good and got some things going. But points were hard to get last night for both teams. Both defenses were playing pretty well.
You know, that's so amazing because everybody talks about next man up. But there's no position on the football field where working together is as valuable as it is on the offensive line. You start changing pieces out, it's not just changing one person.
You're exactly right. And, you know, I'm proud of those kids for coming in and getting the job done last night in a situation that was tough. But, you know, it's been one of those seasons. You said next man up, and there's several positions right now. There's not a next man up. And that's what we're doing as a coaching staff, trying to figure out how we can, you know, put pieces on the field. We had a linebacker that had to come out. He had a nick on his elbow. And we actually rode a kid from the secondary up to linebacker and moved another kid in the secondary, and that's the only choice we had.
And those are the challenges when injuries start to mount, and you guys have kind of been dealing with that all year round. I mean, you're talking about players that have never played positions having to step in and play.
You're exactly right. You're yelling from the sideline, okay, if this happens to this, you know, it's just not ideal, but it's where we're at. But the thing about it is it challenges you as a coach, and, you know, it keeps the players on their toes because they've got to know what they're doing.
Teams trading positions, second, third, into the fourth quarter. You take the lead 15-8. A minute left in the game. Take us through what you're dealing with defensively.
Well, we hadn't seen them go for an extra point. They were always going for two. And they kind of figured out a little bit what we were doing. We were running a slant 50, started running back to the backside away from their motion on us, and we jumped into a 40 look on the goal line and was able to stop them a couple times, and then their quarterback sneak, they were able to get in the end zone. And we then jumped back into the 50 look, and we do have one senior outside linebacker that's got a little knowledge, and we changed up what he was doing a little bit, and quarterback center's change for them was not good, but we was bringing him off the edge hard because we knew number two, their quarterback, he's a good athlete, talented player, and they like to get him outside on the right side, and he was able to get a hand on him on the backfield, and then a freshman, Connor Ward, at defensive end, came from behind and got a hold of him and got him down, and we were lucky to stop him, you know, at that situation, but the kids just stepped up and made a play when they had to. It was a matter of getting the hands team on the field, and they had a pretty good onside kick, and one of our front guys did his job, and they covered him up. And from that point, it's a formation we've not been in a lot this year, but it's one, as a coach, you really like to call victory formation. We were able to kneel on the ball two times and run the clock out.
And York wins it by 1 point. I can only imagine the emotions that you saw from your young men when you got in the locker room last night.
Well, you know, we've been a team that we didn't win a game at home. All of our wins have been on the road. We won in Jackson County, game one. Game three, we won in Grundy County. And then we had a streak there where we just didn't – we were in some games really to the end. Sparta at home, we were leading 14-7 going in the fourth and ended up getting beat pretty bad. You know, just hadn't had things go our way. But, you know, I told them, I said, hey, you guys won game one, and you won game 10, and this is the one that matters. You start a new season next week, and we know we got a, you know, extreme challenge going to Loudoun, but you can't have a chance if you don't make it.
And there'd be so many people watching from the stands, from their homes next week, not getting a chance to play. You're in there.
Yep, that's exactly right. And our kids last night, you mentioned the emotion after that win. You know, it was just like they were happy celebrating, and it was good to see that as a coach, especially with the things that have happened, the adversity they've been through this season.
York Institute wins over Cannon County 15-14, headed to the postseason next week. Coach, thanks for the time, and we'll visit with you during the course of the week as playoff preparations begin.
Yes, sir. Thank you all for your coverage.
Rock 93.7's high school playbook continues. Clay County gets the win over Red Boiling Springs, 48-0. The Bulldogs of head coach Jake Johnson running the ball well, 199 yards on 26 carries.
Nathaniel, he's done a really good job for us. You know, his season, coming into this, he was our number three running back. Kid that worked extremely hard, just a really good guy. And for all the work that he's put in and effort, and also coming off a labrum surgery off last year, didn't even get cleared until the Tuesday of the first Friday of the year. So just really happy to see him be able to do what he's done for us the last couple of weeks. But he'd be the first to tell you that that offensive line up front last night was really opening some good holes for him.
Could you sense as the game kind of went forward that that he was feeling it?
Yeah. I mean, those first 5-6 carries, I think he was averaging 10, 12 yards per carry. And like I said, the offensive line was doing a really good job. It was one of those little wet, nasty, muddy fields. And, just really felt like coming into the game that we could lean on that a little bit, just really get him going and use that big offensive line in front of him.
Those guys along that offensive line, when they have that ability to just come off the line strong, they're feeling it. You can just really get rolling downhill, can't you?
You definitely can. You know, we're a team that likes to throw the ball and spread it out. But, as a coach, I'm the first to tell those guys up front on both sides of the ball that that's really where the game's decided. I mean, I look back over a lot of games, and, the ones we've really played well in is because of what we've done up front. And then on the flip side as well, the ones we've not really been able to do anything in is because we was not doing what we need to do up front. So those are not the type of guys that always get their picture in the paper or talked about a lot. But, we understand here at DeKalb, and, a lot of football coaches do, that the up front is where it really starts.
Let's put some names out there in the showcase, because they don't get a lot of attention except when they give up a sack. That's really the only time they get their names mentioned, right?
That is definitely true. Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing up front, is our left tackle, Isaac Cross, who's a Tennessee Tech commit. He does a great job for us on both sides of the ball, been a 2-year cat and just one of those all-around guys. And when I was talking to a lot of the colleges, I just said if I had 11 of Isaac Cross, I'd never lose a football game. He's that type of young man, just really gets that. And he's a big leader of our team as well. And like I said, he plays left tackle for us. We've got our left guard, who has probably played the best consistently up front all year, is Diego Coronado. He's just a sophomore, plays left guard for us, a bigger guy, but bends and moves very well for as big as he is. Our center is a junior. That's Peyton Leaf. He's the smallest guy up front. He's barely over 200 pounds, where all the rest of us are close to 3 or over 3. But, he's done a real good job for us up front at center. He's the quarterback of that offensive line, making some checks and calls, keeping everybody on the same page. And then at right guard, we have a freshman who actually played with a cast on his hand last night. Did a really, really good job for us. And that's Brian Portillo. He's the biggest guy that we have on the offensive line at 6'2", 330 as far as height and weight. And he's done a really good job for us as a freshman. You can tell at times he's still a freshman, but he's going to be a really, really special player for us up front for years to come here. And then at right tackle, a junior, and that's Kevin Ponder. Like I said, he's got a lot of different snaps at different places last year, as a backup, as a reserve, but has come in as a junior this year and really solidified that right tackle spot, and they did a great job for us last night.
Steve Trent, let's flip over to the other side. You give up 6 points in the second quarter, but nothing after that. What'd your defense do well?
Well, we got a couple turnovers right there really quick, and we was able to capitalize off those on offense. So, when you can play complementary football like that, give your offense extra opportunities, and it really just helps everything out. The one time where we did give up the 6, kudos to Cumberland County, just really got after us right there a little bit. So we just had to not really adjust our scheme, but really adjust our guys there for a second to make sure that they were still doing what they needed to do. But they were flying around pretty well last night. Like I said, other than that one drive, I felt that our defense was pretty solid all night.
What did you say to your football team when it was all done?
We go into every season with team goals. We start talking about those in January, and first and foremost, we want to win a region championship. It's never been done at DeKalb County. And then, if that doesn't happen, we want to make sure that we host playoff games and continue to get into the playoffs. So I definitely told them that even though we didn't
we were not at the pinnacle of our region as far as that number one seed, that ultimately we did the best that we could do without reaching that goal. You know, so we did finish second. We're able to play at home here in the first round, and now it's a fresh season. You know, so I understand, you know, what's at stake. I just told my seniors, you know, every week is now senior night. It's one game seasons, and just buy into the process of work, or continue to buy into the process of work, and just take it one day at a time. Do the best you can, and let's go make some noise at home.
Obviously, winning is huge, and that's what your number one goal is, and educating these young people. But from everything else that will go on around the school this week leading up to Friday night, just what does it mean to host a home playoff game?
You know, for me as the coach, it's been there for 15 years, and, you know, coming into that where there had never been a home playoff game or a lot of playoff appearances. You know, we've been every year since 2008 except 2010, and that's just a fact of the matter. That's not putting DeKalb County on a pedestal by no means, because you know, we've only won a couple of playoff games. We've never been past the second round. We've only won one home playoff game back in 2012, but you know, it's just a little different air about the community and the people that's you know, involved with it. You might bring out you know, some new faces that maybe not been out there in the regular season, so it's just a very special time. And the one thing we've talked to these kids about starting in January is that ultimately you will get what you deserve, and if you deserve good stuff, and you got to understand that you've got to put in good stuff, and that's when we talk about that process of work. And if you don't get what you want, then you need to figure out what you need to do better and to have the opportunity to get there. So, like I said, aside from not being at the top of the region, we have finished second, and we are at home for the playoffs for this first round. And like I said, we're going to fight every day and see if we can keep it going.
Coach, congratulations on the win over Cumberland County.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate it.
Head coach of the DeKalb County Tigers, Steve Trapp. Final score 41-6. DeKalb County moves on in the postseason.
And the postgame schedule, postseason schedule, looks like this. Livingston Academy taking on Maplewood Friday night in Livingston. DeKalb County will host Tullahoma Friday night. Stone Memorial will take on Marshall County in Lewisburg. Monterey against Whitwell, that on the mountain Friday night. It's Clay County and Sail Creek, that game set for Salina. 3A, Upperman will host Signal Mountain Friday night, while York Institute will be on the road to Loudoun. And the Cookeville Cavaliers traveling to Hendersonville to open their postseason run against the 5-5 Commandos. We'll have complete coverage all week long as the playoffs approach at ucsportsnation.com. Also today on ucsportsnation.com, cross-country state championships going on in Nashville, and several Upper Cumberland runners are participating. We'll have the results for you again at ucsportsnation.com, driven by East Tennessee Dodge. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you back here next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock.